Don't worry about a thing.
All right, now.
Every little thing is going to be all right.
All right.
Most of us remember that song, and it was a very interesting song. It had a little Jamaican flavor to it. I'm even praying that Chuck is going to remember the song. He's got to get it. But it's a very interesting song. Where it's a person from the world speaking to the world and saying, don't worry. Every little thing,
is
going to be all right. We live in a society today where we are just full of technology. And the truth be told, what technology is supposed to do is supposed to make life better. Technology is supposed to be embraced and embraced in a way that a lot of things that we were worried about, a lot of things that we're spending our time doing, technology is supposed to replace all that stuff. And it's a wonderful thing what technology is supposed to do, but there are some things technology cannot replace. I don't know about you, you may be worried about your job, but there are some jobs technology can never replace. And even if technology can replace your job, if you are a child of God, your job is going to always be there. Everybody else may lose their job, but your job somehow is going to be there. And so as we begin to embrace technology, technology is supposed to make us wiser. But instead of making us wiser, quite often technology makes us worry more. Because instead of embracing it and saying, here's a better way of life, we end up worrying about the technology that we have because now we can't get the computer to work. And this phone keeps just crashing down on me. And so everything that we have, what we discover is that if it was built by man, it has issues.
Yeah. That's right.
You don't have to worry about what God is doing in your life. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God knows where he's taking you. God is not concerned about what's going on in the world. God is still sitting high, looking low, and he's still in love with you. Now, we begin to worry about stuff, and as we begin to worry about stuff, God begins to take a step back from us. Worrying cancels out faith.
That's right.
The Bible declares it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, what faith says, I'm persuaded that what I'm asking God for is going to manifest. When you come to church, you got to know that I'm coming expecting something. I'm coming, I'm declaring the word of God, and I want to see it happen in my life. Now, sometimes the way that you think it will happen, it may not necessarily happen that way, but that's a good thing because I don't always know what I need. Sometimes we pray and we pray amiss. We ask for something and God is saying, but you really don't need that. Oh yes I do, God, I really need that. And God is saying, if you know where I was taking you, you'll understand you really don't need that in your life. That's why we have to lean back, trust, and depend on God. Now I find it interesting how the book of Matthew's kind of unfold, where beginning of chapter number 6, it kind of begins with the disciples' prayer. Now notice I said disciples' prayer because the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? In other words. So the disciples' prayer is a prayer where Jesus says to the disciples, this is how you pray. Now the Lord's prayer is John chapter 17. That's when Jesus prays for us. That is the Lord's prayer. So the disciples' prayer that we're always quoting really isn't the Lord's prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. But that's alright, God knows your heart anyway. And so the prayer says, God, you know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he begins in chapter number 6 with prayer, because what prayer is supposed to do, prayer is supposed to build you up, give you more faith, more confidence. confidence in the word of the Lord. And so as you begin to pray, then Matthew shifts from prayer and he goes into worry. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're going to pray,
don't worry.
Don't worry.
All right.
Every little thing is going to be all right. You see, when we come to God and we pray about something, we have to really learn how to let go and let God work it out. The only issue is if you don't trust the God that you serve. Now, if you don't trust God, you pray about it, but you hold on to it because you're smarter than God, because you can figure it out, because you know exactly what you need. Therefore, you stay up all night. Therefore, you're taking all these anxiety medications. Therefore, you're trying to replace God with a liquor bottle. Therefore, you're trying to be God all by yourself. And God is saying, I'm going to step back and let you make a boo-boo out of it. And when you finish, call upon the name of the Lord. If you return to me, God knows where he's taking us. And so Matthew goes from the disciples' prayer and he moves into this place of don't worry. And so he says, he addresses things. He says, now I know what's going on in your life. I know all the obstacles. I know everything that is against you. But he says, but. Now the word but comes from a Greek word. It has to do with cancellation. In other words, everything that happened before you said but really doesn't matter. In other words, my bills are not going to be paid, but I know the Lord. But I know the Lord will pay your bills. The doctor says one thing, but I know the Lord. I know the Lord will take care of something else. See, you got to know how to cancel things out in your life. Everybody in your life is not praying with you, not praying for you. Everybody who calls himself your bosom buddy really is not your friend. See, a true friend will stick with you even to the end. A true friend doesn't matter how you got there. A true friend says, how can we get out of here? A true friend will see you through when others think that you are through. A true friend will stand in the shadow so you can shine. There's no jealousy in a true friend. Friends are hard to find. And so he shifts, he says, but. He says, cancel out everything that you see with your eyes. Your eyes will fool you. I'm going to share a story with you one time just to show you something. I don't think she's here. Miss Alice has a daughter.
Amen.
Carolyn Ann and Jeff got married.
Amen.
Watch this. Let me show you how your eyes will fool you. Now, Carolyn and Jeff got married, and they were having a reception at a hotel.
That's right.
I saw Alice's daughter walking out of the hotel that I was walking into, and I asked her, why was you here? And she said, what are you doing here? See, you can say something and your brain is saying something else. And I, for the life of me, couldn't figure out why this girl was at this hotel. And she says, what you doing here? And I said, issue, but we can't see our own issue. See, sometimes you really do have to clean out your own life before you go and hit somebody else. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around someone else. And so what God is saying, he says, listen, I know you're going through something, but cancel all that. What I need for you to do is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Now you remember last week we dealt with John 4:23, where the Bible declares God was seeking true worshipers. So now God is saying, last week I'm seeking after you. This week he said, you need to come after me. Now when you begin to seek after God, you gotta know obstacles are gonna come in your way. You gotta know haters are gonna bounce up like never before. You gotta know people gonna laugh at you, call you everything but a child of God. But if you stay focused and your focus where faith is built up, it doesn't matter what they say, because what I understand is that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I know what you're trying to do, but I'm going to stay focused and I'm going to seek ye first.
Yes.
first. That's your first fruit. Either in worship or in giving or in life and breath. When you get up in the morning, you need to give God your very first. It's something about when you wake up in the morning, it's something about spending that time with God. Yes. You spend that quality time with God. Everything else in the day is okay because I gave God my first in the morning. And the Bible declares like the dew in the morning. He gently rests upon you all day long. And so God wants us to give us his first. And so he says the first thing you have to do, young folk, is seek ye first the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the will of God. So the first thing I need to know is, God, what do you will in my life? What do you want from me? And so because I don't know what God wants from me, I have to spend time with him, develop a relationship, and then when I pray to God, God speaks back to me through prayer, and he tells me what to then ask for. See, prayer is not when you tell God what to do. Prayer is when you hang around and listen to what he wants you to do.
That's right. That's right. You're right.
I told the Lord, Lord, if you do this, and God is saying, I don't need you to be screaming at me. I can hear. I don't need you to come to me 6 times a day. I heard you the first time. Where is your faith? I know your situation, and I'm going to see you through. Do you not believe me? Do you not believe that I'm God and I can deliver you? If you know God, then he says, just hang on in there with me. I may not come when you want to, but you better believe he's right on time. Have you ever tried the Lord in your midnight hour? Have you ever tried the Lord in your valley? Have you ever tried the Lord on your mountaintop and God showed up anyway? God will show up, and when God shows up, God brings blessings with him. He brings healing with him. He brings power with him. He brings delivering power with him. Won't God show up in your mouth? But seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, you got to go after the will of God. Now listen to this, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but you got to believe me. What you want in your life is less than what God wants to give you.
Yes.
See, listen. What you praying for, what you asking for, that new revelation you just ran across yesterday, God has been holding that thing for zillions of years. When he allowed you to be born, he put that thing in your path. He is so excited about you being in the right place so he can give it to you. And when you do, then he can pour out his blessing. The problem is we block our own blessings because we're not in the right place. Now, God is not looking for a sinless person. He's just looking for someone that got the heart of God. Someone that got the mind of God. Someone that's going to stand with him when nobody else is standing. He's just looking for somebody that's just crazy enough to believe in me even when the thing doesn't look right. He's just looking for somebody to call upon his name in his time of the year. And so he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, the will of God. Then he says, and his righteousness. In other words, you can't come to God jacked up. The righteousness is the right way. So what God is saying is that in order for him to bless you, you got to be in the right place and you got to come before him in the right way. Now, what I love about God is that the right way is a humbled way. The right way is a broken way. The right way is just as you are. You don't have to come to God when you fix everything, then come to him and say, I got it right. Oh, I thank God I can come to him jacked up. I thank God I can come to him. Thank you. Thank God, I can come to him. I thank God, I can come to him. He just said, tell me what's on your heart. I'm a loving God. I'm a providing God. All you got to do is just seek me first.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
So you got to come in righteousness.
Yes.
Righteousness says, I have a heart to be changed. See, every time you go into the presence of God, the first thing that we have to realize that in comparison to God, we're nothing. In comparison to God, we're like filthy rags. So now that I know how jacked up I am, now I can really praise him when God comes through, because I know nobody did it but him. See, we got some cute Christians today. God keep on blessing you, and you keep on amen. Yeah, yeah. But in your nighttime, when you climb out, not running down your face, baby, you better give your praise on. You gotta praise God like you never prayed before. You gotta begin to praise the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now watch this. He says, now if you seek my will, my way, I'll give you the world. He says, all this other stuff, baby, I'll just add it to thee. See, the thing that you worried about, God is saying, oh, that's nothing. I was going to do that anyway. The thing that got you up all night, God is saying, oh, no, no. I was just going to throw that one in. That was just a given. See, we worried about the wrong thing. What we need to be consumed with is seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, God, what do you want me to do? See, God, I know if I can find out what you want me to do, everything else will line up. Because the Bible says that God orders your steps. Now, when God begins to order your steps, sometimes God doesn't take you from First Street to Second Street. Sometimes he has to allow you to go through the valley, through the mountain, cry a little bit on the backside of the mountain. But it's all preparing you so that when you get there, everything is going to be worked out. You see, God has to know that when you get there, he pours out his blessing. You can handle the blessing. Have you ever given your teenage child something and they thought that they can handle it, like at 18, a new car, and they went speeding down the road because they couldn't handle it, but they thought they can? See, that's us. When God blesses us, we go speeding away from the church and don't turn back and say, Lord, thank you for what you just did. So God has to allow us to go through something. He has to allow us to press our way through something sometimes, so that when he begins to bless us, we know nobody but God. Yes. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All else should be added unto thee. See, now that's revelation. That's life changing right there. And that is to say, all I got to do is worry about God's business, and God got all my stuff already worked out. See, here I am worried about how this is going to happen, how I'm going to pay this, and how I'm going to do that. I don't have to worry about anything. What I need to do is open up the word of the Lord, and what I need to do is find a promise. When you find yourself going through something and your body is sick, open up the word of God and just meditate. Now, he said that by his stripes I'm healed. So I need to meditate on that. When the bills are passed due, I need to open up the word and begin to meditate where he says, and I will supply all of your needs, not according to your bank statement, but according to my riches. I thank God he's doing according to his, not according to mine. I thank God he's an everlasting God. I thank God he sits high and he looks low. I thank God he's my all in all. I thank God that he's a savior. I thank God he's a deliverer. I thank God he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Have you ever tried the Lord? You've been down and out, but you really tried the Lord. Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he be a battle line? Won't he fight you now? All he's saying is that you got to seek me. And see, God is saying, when you come after me, he says, I'll show up because I want you to find me. You came looking for one thing, baby, but I allowed you to find me. When you find God, jackpot, lotto, whatever you want to call it, baby, that's it when you find God. Because he said, I'm supplying everything. I know your needs, baby, and I'm supplying it every single day.
Yeah.
All he wants us to do is just to seek after him.
Seek after him.
Now, I know on surface that sounds kind of ridiculous, because you got to be somebody arrogant to tell a whole world to come after you. Unless you know who you are. Unless you know that you are the creator. Unless you know that your word will never fail. Unless you know that you will deliver. Unless you know that you'll make a way out of no way. Unless you know these things about you. See, the thing that makes God God is his word. He says, I place my word above my name. In other words, he says, when I don't keep my word, don't even worry about my name. You better believe God will always keep his word. You better believe if he said it in the Bible, it shall come to pass. All you have to do is find it in the Bible and say, God, you said you'll do this. I'm going to stand on your word. I know it seems like I'm going down, but I'm going to stand on your word. Because you said it, God, and if you said it, you got to do it. See, you got to know what he said in order to tell him what he said. Now, he knows what he said. He just want to know that you're seeking after him, that you know the word. And if you know the word, just tell him what it is. You don't have to be right. You don't have to read it, vibrate. Just don't worry about that. Just say it anyhow. He said, just guess at it. Just tell me. I know your heart. And you said something about healing. I got that part. I'm going to heal you. You said something about faith. I got that part. I'm going to give you more faith. He said, just come after me. And when we begin to seek after God, then what God says is I show up. You see, one day God says, I know my people are coming after me. So I'm going to give them my only begotten son. A son that stretched forth on an old rugged cross. He died so that they can have life. Life more abundantly. And he died so that you can have life and more abundant. He want to pour out of you new blessings, new healing, new mercy, new love, new forgiveness, new friends, a new house, a new car, a new bank statement, a new everything. He want to do it all over again. God. I know that you met him before, but you ought to have a fresh encounter with him this morning. You ought to come this morning. Say, God, I want to meet you again. I want you to do a new thing. Do it all over again. Love me like never before. Show me a new blessing. Do it one more time, baby.
Hallelujah.
But seek ye first the kingdom. And all else, he says, I added to thee.
Thank you, Lord.
All else.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on and stand with
me. Thank you, Lord.
God wants to add some stuff in your life this morning. God wants to add some stuff in your life this morning. You've been trying to figure it out. And God's saying, just relax. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. You worried about your job? God is not concerned about that. Let me tell you something. If you lose your job, God's still going to pay your bills. So whether or not I go to work and earn the money or I sit at home on my tail and God send it until the next job, however it goes, baby, the bills will be paid because my God promised to supply all of my needs. See, we're worried about the wrong thing. We're worried about the stuff that we see. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Your eyes will fool you. Have you looking at some stuff and it's not even real? What you got to do is shut your eyes, fall down on your knees, have a little talk with God, and he'll make everything all right. That's what he wants you to do. Just to have a little talk with God. As the deacon comes forward, we want to open the doors of the church to somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
With everyone this morning not sure about your standing with God, not sure where you are, if you die right now, do you know where you're going? With everyone this morning, no church home, never been baptized, you need to come back to God. If that's you, we speak to you this morning. With everyone, this is your moment. Not sure where you are? Done some bad stuff. And God says, it doesn't matter. You're here this morning, you don't have a church home? Or maybe you do. God's placed among your hearts to unite with us here at Life Change. We want to extend an invitation with you. Jesus says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Salvation, eternal life is yours. That's how simple it is. With everyone this morning, not sure about your relationship with God, looking for a church home, we're looking for you. Start all over again with everyone. You die right now, you know where you're going. That's the question. If you're not sure, now is your time. This is your moment.